This is a replay of the Tuesday night, January 20th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, NLS Sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from One VoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's One VoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 hours to spend together, and as usual, if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, providing it has little to no import whatsoever. I thought we'd start, actually, with 11 medical myths, that people continue to believe to one degree or another. An apple a day, for instance, yes, keeps the doctor away. Well, yeah, they're full of fiber and vitamins and antioxidants, but they don't ward off disease. Now, so where did this originate? Well, it originated in Wales in the 1800s. The slogan was, eat an apple on going to bed and you'll keep the doctor from earning his bread. Well, the doctors continue to earn money and nobody really got that much better from the apples, but they certainly won't hurt you. Speaking of vegetables, carrots will not give you night vision, although many people believe that that is the case. Where does this come from? World War II. Yeah, British propaganda. The Royal Air Force claimed that their pilots had uncannily good night accuracy because of their carrot-heavy diets. It was a cover to conceal their use of radar. Right, exactly. Now, while we're on the subject of apples for a moment, another one is arsenic in apple seeds can kill you. Well, maybe if you had, 150 to 200 of them, but actually apple seeds contain amygdalin, which the body converts into cyanide as far as that goes, not arsenic. But the amount of amygdalin in the apple seeds is tiny. So you wouldn't be getting arsenic anyway. But as far as a cyanide overdose, you'd need a minimum of 150 crushed apple seeds. And they're probably better at keeping the doctor away than they are at poisoning you, all things being equal for the apple. I know, I laugh at these, but people absolutely believe it. Now, I can't believe anyone buys this, although when you were a kid, you probably heard it from your parents. Cracking your knuckles gives you arthritis. Stop doing that. It turns out that it will irritate those around you, but it will not irritate your joints. Shaving makes your hair grow back thicker. A myth, sort of. Now, what I mean by that, and sadly anybody who's been through chemo and things like that when their hair is growing back, knows that shave your head and it seems to grow back thicker. What's really happening is that the new growth feels blunt and coarse compared to the tapered hair tip that naturally will occur. The follicles themselves are unaffected by shaving, but the as far as the feeling of it, there's a certain amount of truth to that, though none of it being scientific. Another one your parents probably told you, swallowing gum, the gum stays in your stomach for 7 years. No, not even 7 days. It passes through your digestive tract quite efficiently. It's kind of like corn or sunflower seeds as far as that goes. An ice bath will sober you up. Well, you'd have to be drunk to think of doing it, but neither black coffee nor cold showers will accelerate the rate at which your body metabolizes alcohol. It's just that simple. No matter how many freezing showers you take, they will only make you cold, wet, and awake. Still drunk. Hiccups can be cured if you... And then fill in the blank. There are so many cures for hiccups, and absolutely none of them seem to be accurate. Holding your breath, drinking water upside down, having a friend scare you, on and on and on. And, the plan is that it might reset your diaphragm, but the truth is that hiccups are going to fade on their own for the most part. Occasionally, you'll hear the stories where they don't, but that's when you call in the real medical professional. You don't start standing on your head drinking water. Don't go outside with wet hair. You'll get a cold. Well, actually, no, colds are caused by viruses, but there's a certain amount of truth to it from the standpoint of if it lowers your body temperature, you're more likely to be prone to infection. You won't have the immune defenses as if your body temperature was higher. But by and large, the real culprits are germs. Don't worry about it. And then finally, you use only 10% of your brain. And that was William James at Harvard University in the 1890s who said that. And the idea has evolved through virtually all the self-help motivational literature you've ever seen. And it's a claim that people accept. It turns out that it's not true. Now, what may be true, you might only have cognizance that you're using 10% of your brain, but virtually all of it has a function. We use 100% of it, whether we know it or not. So that's the deal. Oh, yeah, turkey makes you sleepy, right? We won't even go with tryptophan. But there's a couple of thought starters, but I leave it to you to go from there. 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. And hanging on, since before the show started, was Victor in Silver Spring. So, Victor, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I wanted to add on to that caller you had last Thursday from Houston, Texas. Talk about propagation. There's another type of propagation. It's called e-skip.
Sure.
And the station that I got from Cornerbrook, Newfoundland, was on 103.9, and it was coming in quite clear for maybe about half an hour. And then there were days when the e-skip really took off, and I got every single station in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah.
Like I was living there.
Right. Right, and it's interesting the way it is that geographically sensitive, but sporadic E, or E-skip, if you will, why that happens, I don't know if you're aware of this, is because when the conditions are right atmospherically, weather-wise, you wind up using a lower portion of the ionosphere, which is normally not used when we're DXing, but it's such a low level, and it's particularly sensitive to VHF, anything from 50 to 140 megahertz, that, and you know, like as you probably would agree, usually in the summer, but suddenly things that are supposed to be line of sight, which is what we think of when we think of FM or VHF or something like this, winds up just even intercontinentally going distances, and only for a period of time.
Yes, it usually happens starting around the end of May through maybe mid-July. And one or two times I've seen it during Christmas week, there was a sporadic E, and I was living up in Massachusetts at the time, and I remember getting a Channel 2 in Orlando, Florida, and it was coming in like local. And I remember when I was at my grandparents' summer place in southern Maryland out in the country, I remember my grandmother was complaining that she couldn't watch her soap opera because there was a sporadic E. And I said, well, Grandma, I'll change the channel. So I went to channel 3. There's my story. Leave it there. And the station turned out to be channel 3 in Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah, oh yeah. That's exactly what happens. And of course, sporadic E is, it's a lot similar in effects to tropoducting. And as far as that goes, ducting is usually more fine-tuned. In other words, many points, but shorter hops. But as far as that goes, it's going to build slowly, have very narrow paths. You'll get tropoducting longer than you will sporadic E, but you'll have them both.
Now, I remember June 24th and 25th of 1967, I was getting stations from Tulsa those 2 days. I wrote a letter to the Channel 2 in Tulsa and Channel 6. No, yeah, Channel 6. And I got a reply. Channel 6 sent me a QSL card with the times when I pulled in the station. Channel 2 sent me a form letter. And at the bottom of the form letter, it said, sorry, we have to use a form letter because we've gotten so many reports such as yours.
Good. Well, absolutely. And it's nice that people are reporting, and even better that people are still responding. But yeah, with tropoducting, you can get UHF as well. But
yes, I've noticed that. I've had days when I would be getting Philadelphia and clear, just like local.
Right.
And then it would slowly fade out as the day as we approached noontime.
Absolutely. And of course, it's less regarding whether it's noon or whatever as the height of the cloud, as far as that goes. But it's fascinating to look at it. And in terms of predictability, it is totally unpredictable. You know, you'd think that weather would be able to tell you, but it's really, you know, obviously weather can give you, yeah, conditions may be right, but it's usually not going to be a real indicator. So it's always kind of a sweet thing when you get it.
Yes, and I remember another day I was getting all the stations in Omaha, Nebraska, though I were living there. It was really weird.
No, that's the way. That's exactly the way it happens. But it'll last, you know, a half hour, an hour, and then they're gone.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember a neighbor came over, and I told her, watch the TV and tell me what you see. And I got whatever she wanted to borrow. And she said, I don't believe it. You're getting a Cuban station. I said, oh, yeah. It was Channel 3, but they said Channel 6. I guess what the Cubans did was take all the channels and broadcast every single one. So you couldn't get anything outside Cuba. And it was really interesting because when I got the Cuban stations, they were showing cartoons for the kids that I saw in the 50s.
Right. Right. Well, you know, that matches the cars. Why not? So
yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I think less and less people do it these days. But it's really fun when somebody who knows nothing about this form of propagation hits it. And but very few people, sadly, anymore, watch television terrestrially. Most people are getting it from their cable or from a stream or what have you. You know, as recent as 30 years ago, I guess, or I should say as far back as 30 years ago, a station could be off the air and 95% of their viewers would never know it because they weren't picking it up terrestrially.
Yeah, that's what I was told when Channel 4 in Washington went off the air and nobody
knew it. Exactly. And you have all that anecdotal evidence where stations off the air for hours and nobody's reported it because nobody is listening to it terrestrially. Occasionally, you'll see that they are in far-flung communities, and probably not as much today, where they would have repeaters or translators. And they would, you'd have some.
And I remember when I was at the Maryland School for the Blind, I was DXing on the TV. And the house mother started getting on me. She thought that looking for distant stations would put a strain on the tubes.
Oh, geez.
I just laughed at
her. Oh, geez. All right,
all right. And then the next day, the principal during chapel said, I want to see Victor in my office. So I went down to his office, and he says, I understand you had some really interesting catches. And I told him, I told him what I was getting.
Yeah.
And he says, do me a favor. Next time the house mother tells you to turn off the TV, do it, please, so I don't have to hear her complaining.
Oh, man. Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, well, thank God she wasn't teaching science. It will not hurt the tubes. So
Exactly.
That's great, yeah.
But anyway, I hope the guy from Houston is listening.
Yeah, Johnny, I'll bet you he is. And then you can get into what happens with meteors, which is also fun.
Absolutely. I know a meteor sometimes will cause sporadic E for a second.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like that. And then even more rare is FAI's field-aligned irregularities, but you see that occasionally. So it's a lot of fun.
Okay, well, I just wanted to put my two cents
in. Glad you did.
Thank you for letting me on tonight.
Absolutely. Keep DXing. Talk to you soon. All right, good deal, a lot of fun. 888-876-5593. But again, the most fun is the unaware hitting on it, you know, thinking, what is going on now? All right, so we're going to move from sporadic E to German television with Dave in Forest City, Iowa, in moments right here on WGN Radio.
All eyes to love.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Lee Andrews in the Hearts. I thought about Lee Andrews today. His son, Questlove, turned 55. Yeah, Lee, of course, no longer with us and been gone now more than a decade. And left us with some great songs. Of course, Teardrops, most people think of immediately, or, you know, there's a few others. But I thought, man, all I said, Love and Why Do I are two that I love. So you'll hear that tonight, too. And your requests as well. I've got about 10 of them lined up. So let's see. Before the news, let's enter the conversation with Dave and then pick it up after the news. So, Dave in Forest City, what's up?
Yeah, well, since the last time I talked to you about my German studies, I found a girl called Anna in Bavaria.
Uh-huh.
And she's born in Dachau, Bavaria.
Okay.
And coincidentally, a famous town in Bavaria.
Yeah, yes, for all the wrong reasons, but yes.
Yeah, for the wrong reasons, but, you know. They still have to have people born there. I mean,
oh, absolutely, and, you know, and Bavaria is beautiful. There's no doubt about Bavaria being beautiful. So
I love Anna, and she made about 200 TV shows. So I could, and it's for children from 6 to 16. So I could watch her. I mean, I could watch her all day. And I thought, if I could only watch her 8 hours a day, but I can't because I fall asleep. So,
all right. Well, hang on a minute. Don't go away. We'll talk more about German television. Why not? They've got a lot of it. It's actually Europe's largest television country as far as households. So we'll also talk to Nick in Baltimore. Looking forward to that. Some DXing, Don in Beloit, and Room for You Too on WGN Radio.
Time that I hear your name, I have to hold back the tears, hold back the tears, hold back the tears, I have to hold back the tears, hold back the tears, I have to hold back the tears. No one must know how much I love you, son. I love you so.
I'm Raleigh James. Charlotte's own, the Delicardos, Hold Back the Tears, 1961 on UA, and it was Chris in Ohio who wanted to hear the Delicardos. That's right. Not really beach music, and from Charlotte. So there you have it, 888-876-5593. We're talking to Dave in Iowa about German television. Why not? If you want to talk about it, I will. So, yeah, you know, I mentioned how big German television is, but I should also mention that more than half of it is public television. Advertising is a distant second on those channels.
Yeah, and everyone in Germany has to pay $18 a month.
Yeah, well, and it's just like, it's just like years ago, I remember when I got my first reel-to-reel recorder. I think it might have been a Tandberg, but whatever. They said, well, I'll be glad you're not in Germany. You'd have to pay a royalty fee for this darn thing every year. So, yeah, and so there's a lot of that, but the original, I think, was ARD, which is still on the air, and then in the 60s, that's when ZDS came around. But they have satellite now as well, so you've seen that like everywhere else. But I thought it was interesting about DFF because that was East Germany, and that was a little fascinating there for a moment. So yeah, there you go. Yeah. So you've met Anna from Bavaria.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, she doesn't know I exist, but yeah, I've met her.
Yeah, well, yes, and, right. I'm sure that's true. So you've been watching and you go to sleep with her. That's right. It puts you to sleep.
Yeah, so I'm very comfortable with her, I guess.
And, yes.
I was thinking, well, I could just, maybe if I sleep 2 hours, well, it'll have to be, and then I'd watch 6 hours, but then I was thinking if I sleep during the day, I won't get as much sleep during the night, and then I'll just constantly sleep more in the day until I'm sleeping all day.
Uh-huh.
No, I don't know. It's one of those things I probably have to figure out myself then.
Well, it'll work out eventually. The other weird thing, in addition to how large the market is, and people elsewhere don't really realize that, but is how much dubbing into German television shows are done. A lot of Europe, but also some U.S. stuff. A lot of German stuff, whether it's audio dubbed or subtitled or all that. They're seeing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and one of the girl from Leipzig I communicate with is saying how she listens to American music, not German music.
Sure.
So they're
sure.
You know, we really don't know that much. I mean, I didn't know that much about Germany
The other thing, of course, is that when we think of, well, those of us who have ever thought about German television, we think of Deutsche Welle. And that's kind of like our world services, where people outside of Germany are seeing Deutsche Welle. Inside, nah, you're looking at ARD or ZDF.
Oh, yeah. I like to watch the conservative side, so I would tend to stay away from the public television.
Of course, I'd never know. You know, I have absolutely no idea what they might be saying. But, of course, they got cable there and satellite now, too.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
YouTube, YouTube's good for...
For instance, if there's 40 million TV households in all of Germany, 18 million, at least, satellite is the dominant TV infrastructure. So cable, about the same amount. So when you get to terrestrial, you're down to about 4 million TV households, maybe.
Okay. So then they, unlike Britain, which charges for the TV set, they would charge for everybody, you know.
Right. Now, what is never charged for is the public broadcasting. That's free to everybody. But the other stuff, they'll charge.
Wait, no. Germany?
Yeah. The public television is free.
No, they have to. Everyone has to pay $18 a month in Germany, or 18 euros. I'm sorry.
Right. That's not per channel. That's a tax. Yeah, that's for having the television. Yes. Yes, but for watching
everybody, in Germany it doesn't matter if you have a television. You have to pay that 18 euros. Excuse me.
Really?
Is the way I understand it.
I didn't realize.
You can check that out.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out. I find that fascinating.
Mm-hmm. It's not like here where you don't have to pay. You have to pay. It's outrageous, I think, okay. that 18 euro. I keep saying dollars, but euro is about a dollar.
Okay,
so
I see why I get them mixed up. Just looked this up. I see what they're doing. What this is that's the way they fund their public broadcasting, where every household pays a mandatory monthly fee, regardless of whether anything.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a tax, and it applies per household.
So that's what I watch. I watch Anna on the public television, okay. so I'm getting benefit from it and don't have to pay anything.
Well, how about that?
So,
and they
yeah, I'm a freeloader.
Well, good for you. Now, they claim they have a radio tax as well. Now, I'm very curious to see is that separate from the television? God, this is ridiculous. And no wonder people are saying there's nothing worth watching. Yeah, well, not at that rate. But and that's on top of the fees they would pay for satellite or cable or things like that. So, but it's not it's not per person. It's per household.
Per household?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It is not per person.
Yeah, that's a little detail I probably didn't pick up on, but, you know.
Yeah, by the way, if you have a second home, you're exempt.
And another thing that I don't like about Germany is they don't, the police don't wear body cams and they don't publish body cams on YouTube like they do here. Because we have Code Blue Cam, which has a lot of Wisconsin, and Midwest Safety also, as maybe some Wisconsin and Illinois encounters. And that way you can see what it's like if you ever get arrested.
Yeah, it's not to the point that it's nationwide, as far as that goes, but it is in a number of places. It's really odd we're talking about Germany today because January 20th was a very fateful day. It's the anniversary of the Final Solution. Obviously, they talked about
this.
Oh, my God. All right. No, the Final Solution is really, really as evil as it gets with governments. And what it was, it probably was decided in 41, but in 1942, on January 20th, the head of the German secret police had a secret meeting along with 15 German officials. And I know the head was Reinhard Heydrich, and he was chief of the German police. And he said, "We have to end the policies encouraging Jews to leave Germany." So far, that sounds pretty good. Instead, and a group of 15 German officials agreed to this with astonishingly few reservations. "We're going to send the Jews to death camps. Our goal is 11 million. And today was the day for that meeting in 1942, 84 years ago, the Final Solution.
So that's when they started the Holocaust?
No, before that in certain ways. But in January of 42, that's when it became enshrined, if you will, that was going to be. They were already sending people off and doing things. But for the most part, prior to that, it wasn't codified. As of January 20th of 1942, it was absolutely codified. And like I say, there were some reservations, but astonishingly few by comparison. 15 people, officials got together and said, yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to kill 11 million of them. It really boggles the mind.
I never bring that up with
in
Germany.
And by the way, for the most part, they won't either. It's verboten. They've gone, thank God, in the complete other direction of that. But it was on
date. They have laws against wearing a Nazi symbol,
I think. Yeah, well, right. That's
stuff
what I
like
mean.
That,
absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely. They've gone completely the other way. And I good for them.
Yeah.
You know, so so there you have it. Yes, January 20th, 1942. We'll live in infamy. Now you know. All right.
I know. All right. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Yeah, just a horror. On a happy note, January 20th this year, we're now in the sign of Aquarius. Yeah, all right. So talking about your basic, absolutely useless information. But now let's talk about something that's pretty useful. And if you listen to the show, you're a radio fan, so you're probably well aware of the Sea Crane Company. But if not, in the 80s, when Bob Crane bought radios, like many of us did, he was just disgusted with the way reception was. And he vowed that, "I'm going to do something about that." And boy, did he. In fact, the one commonality that every radio that Bob Crane developed has is they have terrific reception. AM and FM. No doubt about it. But the nice thing is about it, decades later, here we have each one of the radios is unique and has features that you don't find elsewhere and a lot of fun. Now, let me mention the CC Radio 3. That's the one John keeps by his bedside. They call it the Almost Everything Radio. With the addition of Bluetooth, you have an immense palette of radio shows and podcasts available from any smartphone or speaker right on the radio because it sounds good. Obviously, you can listen on your phone, but it sounds better. But more to the point, if you're listening to AM or FM, you will pick up more stations and hear them better with this radio than most other radios that Bob Crane developed and most other radios out there. In fact, with the CC2E and the CC3, I always say, take one and put it next to your standard radio. Tune to a station that's hard to pick up on the standard radio. Pick it up on the CC Radio 3 or the 2E, and man, it will come in like gangbusters. So if you're looking to pick up more, this is it. You also get emergency capabilities like NOAA weather and the 2-meter hambam, which is a lot of fun. And in unforeseen events, you may find more there than you'd be surprised to know anywhere else. And if you're listening for voice quality, again, that speaker is just terrific. So separate bass and treble controls adjust to your perfect pitch. Immerse yourself in audio clarity. And of course, it's got a clock, a timer, an alarm, a dial light, and all the bells and whistles and some presets and more. You can use the power cord, of course, but it also, if you put a set of batteries in, it'll run for about 170 hours, so that's pretty nice, too. You can go to ccradio.com anytime, read all about the CC Radio 3. That's ccradio.com. But if you can't go online and you want to give them a call, customer service in the United States of America, 24 hours a day, 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-TUNE. Easy to remember, 522-TUNE. But if you can go online, ccradio.com. I think you're going to be impressed with the CC Radio 3. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Morgan! Morgen, morgen, lacht uns wieder das Glück. Gestern, gestern, liegt schon so weit zurück. War es auch eine schöne, schöne Zeit. Morgen, morgen,
morgen,
sind wir wieder dabei. Gestern,
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 ist uns heute einerlei. War es auch eine schöne, schöne Zeit.
So there you have Evo Romic, Morgan. We were talking with Ralph last night about that in Rockford, and that got to number 13 in September of 1959, don't you know? And only one I can think of that was German, other than, of course, many acts, whether it was the Beatles or Connie Francis, would do records in different languages. But as far as, I won't say a natural German speaker, because Ivo Robic was actually Croatian, played, I think he was a clarinetist. But in any event, he did have Morgan, and that was a hit here. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Nick is in Baltimore. Nick, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, thanks for having me on. I just wanted to follow up on Victor's call, DXing. One time in 1982, and real quick, because I know we don't have much time, we had a really bad thunderstorm here in the Baltimore area where all three VHF stations got knocked off the air.
Wow.
Okay. And there was some, I guess, some antenna damage. I don't know, but anyway, I didn't realize what was going on, and I went in my mother's bedroom, turned the TV on, and it happened to be on at that time Channel 2, which was CBS then, it's ABC now. But
right.
I heard Dan Rather,
uh-huh.
And the sound first, and then the picture, and it was clear as a bell. And it ends, the newscast ends, and I start seeing these commercials for stores I don't know about. I've never seen Kroger, you know. And, yeah. It was WMT, or it was WMT in Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Wow. All right.
Or now I guess KGAN, I guess, whatever it is now, but it was WMT. And then that night, they went off the air, MAR went off the air, and I guess they worked on the transmitter, and I got the PBS station out of Minneapolis. So
yeah,
that was a weird hop. And that was at night. That was like in the middle of the night. You know,
yeah. Oh, that's great. That's a lot of fun. And as I've mentioned many times, the strangest thing about tropoducting or spurious E is that when we get it, we're transfixed. We're listening like it's the most exciting thing. And then you think to yourself, well, wait a minute, if I were actually in Little Rock at the time, I wouldn't listen to this at all. But somehow hearing it in Baltimore, it's like fascinating. So,
it was wild.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things that, you know, it was a rare thing, and that was with the, it didn't matter whether you had a rooftop antenna or just rabbit ears.
Right, absolutely not. Right, absolutely not. It wouldn't. That's right. But only for a fairly brief period of time.
Right. You know, right at the ID time is when it would fade out.
Well, of course, you know, even with like AM DXing, I always say that, you know, all of us will be listening for the longest time. But whenever they're giving out the call letters, it's like that's when you have no idea what's going on. It fades out right about that moment. Yes, I know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure why it is that way, or maybe we just notice it when it happens. But it always seemed that way to me. Be DXing for hours and never catch those call letters.
To your point, though, about people not watching over the air, I was at a doctor's office one time, and they had a TV with the rabbit ears. It happened to be on Channel 11, and they went off the air. Well, I had a cell phone, and I called the station and said, you know, you guys are off the air. Oh, no, we're not. We're still on.
No.
I said, well, I don't think so. I'm in the doctor's office right now, and they were watching whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it's a blue screen right now. She said, hold on. And she checked, and, yep, you're right, we're off the air. So yeah. They weren't monitoring. They were monitoring off the cable or
sure. Almost always the case. As far as tropoducting, I think one of the neatest ones happened a couple of years ago when one of the L.A. stations was picked up by someone in New Hampshire.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I know. And it was really kind of a weird thing because it was not only was it very far, but it was also a stable event that the person was able to really document that. Yeah, that was it. So you betcha.
Wow, I've always gotten Florida and Minnesota and, you know.
Right.
You know, 1,500 miles either way, you know,
right.
North or south, but never west.
Right. You usually don't. So, yeah, whoever this was in New Hampshire, I'm sure it's a memory they won't soon forget.
No, probably. Hopefully they recorded it.
I hope they did. But you usually, you know, you're not within distance to do it when it happens, unless you're set up to DX all the time. But I think that this poor guy just turned on the TV and it was L.A., you know. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, hey, thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling.
I really appreciate you.
Do it again,
I got
soon.
The Bobby Rich book, by the way.
Oh, are you liking it?
I ordered it. I just got it today.
Okay.
So I'm going to open up and I'm going to reread your book, too.
Oh,
but I wrote him years ago.
Yeah.
And somewhere I have his letter.
Oh, good.
Somewhere in the basement, you know, when he was at Kix in Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
And he wrote me a very nice letter back. I said, whenever I'm in town, I like to listen. I wish they would have done that here. He said, well, and then he wrote me a detailed letter as to why they didn't. And it was really nice of him to do that. But
that's great.
All right. Well, you take care. And
all right,
thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
All right.
All right, so two more hours of this. We got Gary in Austin and Robert in LaGrange Park, Don in Beloit, Barry in New Hampshire, and Fran in Austin. And now, as we say goodbye to Nick, there is one line available for you if you want it. This would be a good time to dial. So 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. So, yeah, I mentioned the final solution day. It's other things as well. You know, George Burns, I think he would have been 130 today, January 20th, 1896. Isn't that amazing? Right, and a couple other things of note. Lead Belly. I try to play songs by artists on their birthday. You will not be hearing any Lead Belly, yeah, for a lot of reasons, but you probably will hear. You also, by the way, won't hear Slim Whitman. It's his birthday as well. But yeah, in honor of Questlove, you probably, before the show is over, will hear another Lee Andrews. And on that note, yeah, more news more often right here on WGN Radio.
Tell Automatic Slim, tell razor-toting Jim, tell butcher knife-toting Nanny, tell fast-talking Fanny. We gonna pitch a ball down to that Union Hall.
Coco Taylor, of course, 1966, on Checker, Wang Dang Doodle. Willie Dixon wrote it. Billy Bob requested it, and now he's heard it. 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. We've got Gary in Austin. What's up tonight, Gary?
Well, hey, Raleigh, I got a couple of DX stories.
All right.
To tell. And I used to hear Victor on this magazine called DX Audio Service back in the 80s and 90s.
Uh-huh.
Used to hear him on there. He would contribute to the musings from members part of that magazine. Mm-hmm. But I was I had a TV, and the last channel it ever got was KNXT in LA.
Okay.
And I turned it off because the opening had gone away. And next time I went to turn it on, it did not work ever again.
Oh wow!
And it was a great TV. I hated to see it go. It had a really good reception. But I had an instance one day when I was getting some stuff from out west, and it was something they were talking about the Big Sky Country. So,
okay, Montana.
I wasn't sure if it was Wyoming or Montana. So I'm listening. I didn't hear an ID, and I didn't hear a city. And so Montana was one of the few area codes I didn't know in those days.
Mm-hmm.
So I called directory assistance and I said, well, I'm trying to find a radio station and it's called, I think, Y93. And the operator said, oh, I listen to that station.
Wow, okay.
So she gave me the number and I call them up.
Was this Billings? And was this KYYA?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, what? So I call him up, and the guy answers, and I said, hey, I'm picking you up in Dallas. And I guess there's another person in the building, and he goes, hey, this guy's peeing up and picking us up and blanking Dallas. And he said, hey, can you run me some KNUS?
Oh, jeez.
So I ran him a couple breaks of KNUS, and you know, he was happy. He was really excited about me picking him up. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, you proved it when you gave him some KNUS, so that's great.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I ran him a little bit of what they were sounding like, too. And so he could hear them fading in and all that. So, but yeah, he was really, he wanted to hear him because that was 70, maybe 4?
75 it signed on, I think, actually. So probably
maybe, okay, that might have been around that time. Yeah, yeah. It was 75 or 6.
Yeah.
You know.
So I think it was like March 1st, 1975. It went from country to rock to
Y93. Yeah, I think they were using some kind of automated service, if I remember.
Probably.
I don't know if it was the TM1 or what, but it was a trip. The operator knew who I was talking about.
Right.
That wouldn't happen today, even if there were operators. You know,
well, no, that's true, except that, you know, she was in Billings. So, you know, at least you picked a station. It wasn't like you were listening to something in Whitefish. You know?
Right, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, good, how neat.
Then I had an incident with cable one day, and I was got home from work, and I was tuning around the cable dial, and I hit channel 13, and channel 13 in Dallas was PBS, but I was hearing a commercial for IW Marks Jewelers. So it was channel 13 in Houston that was coming into the cable system.
Wow.
And so I had to disconnect the cable and, you know, hook my antenna up so I could see who else was coming in.
I don't even want to think about how that happened, what they were doing, because normally it wouldn't be an over-the-air deal, so I wonder.
Well, they did something to where it went away. After that, they kicked something. Like, I don't know if they were just picking them up off the air, which I know, you know, that was 80, whatever, you know, 93Q was on, because that night and later on, the Houston FMs were stronger than the Dallas ones were. And people were trying to win contests because KAFM was top 40 then.
Right.
And so they were, 93Q was giving away stuff and people were calling KAFM to win it.
Oh, that's great.
And so they, I guess, 93Q found out about it and they called the PDs home answering machine and say, yeah, we 93Q, you know, gives away stuff and you all don't, you know, the people, even people in Dallas are listening to 93Q, the new 93Q.
I love it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That was a nice purchase for them. The old KLVL. So,
absolutely. That was right after they moved to 92.9. So,
Well, that's what Woody Sobrink was so good at. And he had an engineer who was just magnificent at moving those FMs in. And, you know, he'd buy them for next to nothing. And like KLVL, AM, and FM, it sold for $100,000 cash. And I probably mentioned this to you before, but Woody's guy had to count out $100,000 on Morales' coffee table. So
right, I remember you mentioning that.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, you know, and of course, you know, when it sold, wow. So that was the deal. But Y93 was kind of neat because that was Meyer Broadcasting, who just, you know, they owned North Dakota. And as far as that goes, K-Fire and things like that. And they bought that Y93, I guess, in like 69. And it was country, K-O-Y-N. And eventually,
right.
But Meyer was good. They were a good operator.
Wow, so, cool. Yeah. That guy was very happy to hear.
Oh, I'll bet.
Hear those breaks from KNUS. And, you know, I didn't get a QSL card.
They didn't have QSL cards, no.
Yeah, and I never cared about that particularly. So, I did get one. I'm trying to think who it was from. I wound up losing it at a move. The guy I was talking to him on the phone. He said, "What's your address? I'll send you something." And he sent me a sticker, I think, a bumper sticker.
All right.
From somebody.
Yes, on the old AM Query site, on the FCC database for AM Query, very often they will have, if not QSL cards, some original cards from the stations, and it's fun to look at. It's still there, so you can see a lot of that stuff. Of course, you can't see any of that stuff, but yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. All right.
But I used to. Okay, well, anyway, I will talk to you soon. Wonderful. That's my interesting little story.
Oh, I love it. I just love it. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
See you later.
Yes. And so, of course, 406, by the way, if you're thinking of the area code for Montana. Yeah, I bought a car once, and I thought I looked at the original ownership and all that, and I saw area code. I thought I saw 406. Turned out I saw 408, which was San Jose. So it turned out to be a California car, so it was a dog. But, yeah, they have absolutely a different deal with emissions and engines and stuff like that. But for a minute there, I thought I was getting a much better deal than I did. Robert in LaGrange Park, welcome to WGN Radio. Robert has left us. I think Robert wanted to hear Morgan, actually, but I appreciate him calling and waiting. And now I'm going to free up a line for that. Now, oh, this is interesting. All right. I have Don in Beloit, and the subject's line says Chuck in Rockford, and I have Chuck in Rockford on the other phone. So, all right, Don.
Hey, Riley. How you doing?
All right. Would you like to talk to Chuck in Rockford?
No, he and I talk a lot, actually. I've gotten to really know him. He's really, you've got so many interesting callers, of course, and he's so interesting. He's really got a lot of great, those you know, Riley, those non-Aryans that are 90 years old.
Yeah.
Only one in four Americans, I looked up, reaches that epic year.
Right, at this point in time, but every year it seems that as a group we live a little longer.
Hey, Riley, I really like your themes as usual. And tonight you had a really cool theme, you know, like feet of cold, starve of fever kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Too much light makes the baby go blind. I was going with the eye ophthalmology kind of theme here, but too close to the TV will make your eyes go bad. Your mom would always say, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I had heard that thing about the RAF, of course, and the carrots and the propaganda,
right.
And the training, and they had great radio operators directing the the night vision kind of pilots, in the dark to get to the. It was very crude, a guy hurtling through space, no lights except you're trying to find the. The Henkel bomber's exhaust flames coming out of the exhaust. Manifolds or something, there wasn't much to go by except that the people radio you in to a crude kind of altitude and compass setting, Well, the Japanese really took that to the extreme level with their Navy in the early part of the war, right? And seeing in the dark, they had such great optics and training in that, but while I was on hold, I was looking at a lookout for the U.S. Navy in 1943, and it's a great, great manual with all these cool artistic cartoon comic strip style from the U.S. Navy Bureau of Naval Training Archives or something. Well, anyway, a lot of carrots in front with the magnet. I could probably see the Northern Lights tonight if you give me $20.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Well, Chuck is a really interesting guy. He and I were talking about industrial electrical engineering stuff and PFAs. I have to do a lot of PFAs and electrical stuff for my job. And he knows all about those fluorinated compounds and drinking water, kind of worries. And he knew all about railroads and World War II airplanes. He's a pilot, of course, and a pilot mechanic for a long time. But I know the point I'm trying to make is that just that generation, like his dad and people like my uncles and grandparents, I mean my grandparents, his dad would commute from Galesburg, all the way from Galesburg to Chicago to work in the Douglas plant, what was Orchard Field, making these Skymasters and these transport planes and stuff like that. And then he would commute home on the weekends. I mean, wow, Riley. There's just so much that generation has, as you know. So anyway, I thought your medical stuff's pretty cool.
All right.
you know quite a few, and there's a lot out there for like
Your phone's killing you again. We really need to get you a better phone or to a better place.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, good talk to you. Okay, bye.
I'll work on that.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Yes, indeed. All right. So, yeah, I think that we look at the percentage of Americans at this point who are, say, over 65, over 75, and all of that. And while it's growing, it's also, numbers are pretty low. If you're over 75, you're only 7% of the U.S. population currently. Now, what I found interesting is there was a list of states with the highest percentage of people over the age of 65. And, of course, I immediately thought Florida, right? Maine, 23%. Followed by Vermont, 22%, then Florida at 21.75%. Youngest population, lowest percentage of seniors, we should say, Utah. Yeah, they ran long before that, 12%. Texas, 13%, and Alaska with just 14%. Fascinating figures. All right, so Robert called back in LaGrange Park. So, Robert, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh, I got disconnected somehow. I remember the song, Morgan. Do you remember another one called Sailor, Sailor?
Oh, God, yes.
The way you said that, I take it you didn't care for that one that much.
Yeah. Well,
but I don't know if it was the same person. I don't remember the artist. But,
no.
Yeah.
No. And then, of course, there was Sailor by Lolita. But anyway, oh, God. But,
Okay. I just wanted to clear that up. Oh, well. Okay, then, Raleigh.
Well, good to talk to you. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye right. Now.
Yeah, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And let's see what we're doing here. I have no idea as usual. So I'll regroup and figure it out. And we've got Barry, we got Fran, we got Chuck and Eduardo coming up on WGN Radio.
Simon, deine Heimat ist das Meer.
Seemann, lass das träumen, denk nicht an zu Haus. Seemann, Wind und Welle, ruh.
Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Lolita, as I said, sailor, your home is the sea, is what that would have said if you could have understood any of it. And it was a top five record at the end of 1960. That was her entire career in the U.S., but she did very well worldwide, obviously. And no, she was not German. She was Austrian. And but obviously spoke and sang in German. And most interesting thing about that song, I thought, was poor Pet Clark covered it. Yeah, and actually it was a hit on the UK, thank God. I think the Andrews Sisters did it as well, which is a painful thought all the way around. And so she did a number of things, including some yodeling. Yeah, so be glad I just played that. All right, so there you go. So I know it'll bring back a fond memories to Robert, if nobody else. 888-876-5593. We'll check out the news. We'll check out Chuck. We'll check out Barry, Fran, and Eduardo on WGN Radio.
Out on the plains, down near Santa Fe, I met a cowboy riding the range one day. And as he jogged along, I heard him singing a most peculiar cowboy song. It was a ditty he learned in the city. Come on, come on, yippee.
Get along. Get hip, little dog. Get along. Better be on your way. Get along. Get hip, little doggy. And he trucked him on down that old fairway. singing his cow-cow boogie in the strangest way. Coming to ya, ya, yay, coming to yip till ya, yay.
Singing his cowboy songs, he's just too much. He's got a knocked-out western accent with a Harlem touch. He was raised on local weed. He's what you call a swing half-breed. Singing his cow-cow boogie in the strangest way. Come a da-ya, come a da ya.
WGN Radio, I'm Ronnie James. Ella Fitzgerald with the Ink Spots, Cow-Cow Boogie 1944 on Brunswick, Shellac. And Billy Bob wanted to hear that, and now he has. So 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And that is going to take us to Barry in New Hampshire. So Barry, what's up tonight?
Hey, Raleigh. Cindy from Chicago wanted a song with a whippoorwill on it. I think the song she was thinking of was a Hank Williams song, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry.
Okay. All right. I'm listening. Hello. Hello, Barry.
Hello?
There you are. Where'd you go?
Raleigh?
Yes, now I hear you. Do you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. I don't know either. Man, I'll tell you, cell service is not yet perfected, is it?
I was asking, did you ever hear the disc jockey John Garabedian?
Oh, of course, from Boston, and radio station owner as well.
Right. Well, I was watching a documentary. He launched the V66 in the 1985 with Arnie Wobo Ginsburg.
Right.
Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, I mean, I know he did it.
Oh, okay. No, there was a documentary on it. But now John Garabedian, he took over WJIB, which used to play, like, I used to call it dentist music.
Right.
Like Muzak.
Right.
But now it plays, like, classic rock or old-time rock. He does that now.
All right.
So you are familiar with John Garabedian?
Yeah, okay. No, absolutely, I'm aware of that, because when he did that was early '80s. I was radio editor at Billboard, so I had to cover that, and so I absolutely remember it.
Yeah, it's interesting. They wanted to have a non-cable V6 MTV station with the video music video station.
Yeah, he it was like beginning of 85, and then about a year and a half later, he sold it to Home Shopping.
Yeah, probably.
And I think that is absolutely what he did. And I think the show that he says syndicated now is Open House Party.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. But, you know, well, and interestingly, 85, 86, you know, used still had some value. They were not necessarily dirt cheap. But this was one, he put this on, he didn't buy it, because there was an allocation for 66 and nobody had it. So he got the license. So it was originating, as I recall. And so that was the deal there. And what was the license, like Nantucket or something? I don't remember.
It was from Marlboro, like Worcester area.
Okay. Yeah, all right. All right.
Outside of, you couldn't get one in Boston.
Right, okay. Exactly. I'm trying to think of where what the city of license was for that. I don't know. But whatever. Like I say, it was a good investment because he sold it to Home Shopping. But he's done a lot of things.
Right.
And good for him. He had a TV channel later, XYTV, which was something, it was a lifestyle thing. And so, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. The other thing is Larry Williams. Can you play Bad Boy and tell me something about Larry Williams?
Larry Williams. All right. Absolutely. I can tell you something about Larry Williams. Whenever I think of Bad Boy, I think of the Jive Bombers, different song. All right. I'll be happy to do that.
Okay.
Let me write it down so I won't forget. I'll do that. Let's see. Larry Williams. Maybe tomorrow night. If not, then definitely Thursday night. Okay, good. Thanks.
Okay. But Larry Williams, so he's like a... in the same vein as like Little Richard and stuff. And
well, say yes, certainly another specialty act. You betcha. You know, he was on specialty, and so you know, as far as what about him? Oh,
well,
you know, I guess
boy.
the you know, he was a New Orleans guy. And like I say, it was on specialty. And, of course, Boney Maroney, probably his biggest hit, but Short Fat Fanny. And, of course, Slow Down and Dizzy Miss Liddy. And you mentioned Bad Boy. And I think She Said Yeah was the last thing, and that was probably 59. But his stuff was covered a lot. He was from New Orleans, but I think he spent time in Chicago as a kid and then wound up in California, Oakland or something, and went back to New Orleans and was working for his cousin. Now, who was Larry Williams' cousin? Well, this will tell you all you need to know. Lloyd Price. And so that's the deal. And he got on to specialty in part because of his friendship with Little Richard, which got him introduced to Bumps Blackwell. And Bumps Blackwell, of course, was the house producer at specialty. So that's who would have signed him. And yeah. And so the deal is, around the time that Little Richard decided to get God again and left rock and roll that time, Bumps Blackwell thought, well, let's get Larry Williams to duplicate this success. And so that's why the stuff kind of sounds a lot of, you know, Little Richard-esque sound, because, of course, they didn't have Little Richard then. It did not sell well as far as his stuff. Of course, part of that was specialty, which was sort of a weird switch situation as far as that goes. But he did not make a lot of money with those records. And I don't think he wrote them, which, of course, you know, let's face it, it's an e-ticket to money if the Beatles record your stuff, but only if you wrote it. There's your problem. And I don't think that Larry Williams wrote any of that. Now, I could be wrong. I should look this up while we're talking, because maybe I'll learn something myself. But I don't think he did write it. And if he didn't, it wouldn't much matter, wouldn't it? So let's, Larry Williams. Okay, come on.
Well, somehow the Beatles got a hold of the record.
Of course. Of course. So let's see. Did he write them? All right. Well, he wrote Short Fat Fanny, so that's something. But let's see what. If he wrote them all, then that's Clover as far as that goes. But I did not. Yeah. Dizzy Miss Lizzy. All right, did he write Dizzy Miss Lizzy? I don't think so. But maybe he did. All right, it claims he did. Well, so I learned something new. Well, if he wrote Slow Down as well, good for him. Then, yeah, he made some very good money about
and
that.
And Bad Boy, too, probably,
yeah,
too.
You know, in addition to Lloyd Price, later he wound up working with Johnny Guitar Watson and all that kind of stuff. But wow, I did not know that he died a long time ago, 1980 or so. But okay, he wrote them. Well, then, yeah, I would think that that he did very, very well. Now, of course, no matter how well you do, when you're addicted to drugs and you've got other problems, it's not going to be an easy life. And it wasn't, to say. I did not know he wrote them. Damn, well, that's pretty damn good. You know, he came back in the, like I say, with Johnny Guitar Watson in the mid-60s and did some stuff that didn't do anything there as well. But he wound up not only doing a lot of drugs and having a lot of problems, but he threatened Little Richard at gunpoint, and I think it was a drug debt. But anyway, apparently Little Richard didn't sue him or whatever. But Little Richard again thought, I'm going to return to Christianity. He did that again, which is fine. Don't mean to laugh about it. But I mean, it was kind of a revolving door like that. But I would say he killed himself. And when I say that, here's the question. He died at home, 1980, in Los Angeles, gunshot wound to the head, 44 years old, ruled a suicide, but there were a lot of people who said, now, wait a minute, his involvement of drugs, he was also involved with prostitution, you know, pimping, I guess, and all that. Yeah. And people said, you know, this guy was murdered. Well, the cops didn't see it that way. And so that was the that was the deal. So he wrote the stuff. I'll be darned. I learn something new every day. It just didn't occur to me that he wrote the stuff, because I knew his life was so troubled and all that it didn't occur to me that he was having money pouring in. But, of course, that wouldn't help when you're heavy into drugs and suddenly you got money, you can be heavier into drugs. So, you know, born around 1935, so he would have, you know, been early 30s when the Beatles were doing this stuff. And so, yeah, I would think it probably just fueled the drug addiction. So that's a shame. So there you know.
And, right, thanks. And that for Bobby Fuller Fuller.
Oh, yeah, did Bobby Fuller Four? Okay, yeah, did he kill himself? I don't know. Do you actually die drinking gasoline and it's suicide? We can wonder about that, can't we?
Raleigh?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, that's one of Bobby Fuller Four. One of the real questions, was that a suicide? I don't think so. As far as, you know, I think that that was a message, and we'll talk about that, that some night. But last I checked, you didn't decide you were going to kill yourself by drinking gasoline, but, so I don't buy it. And that was 66, and don't buy it, for a minute. I think that, absolutely it was, to show other people you better not do what Bobby Fuller Four did. And we'll explain sometime what he did. All right.
Okay. All right, Raleigh.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah. So, that's right. Better stay in line. All right. God knows. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. And we will, let's see, we're going to have a couple Rockford callers. After Chuck, we got Ralph, we got Eduardo, we got Fran, and hopefully room for you too on WGN Radio.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter.
Papaya, papaya.
And make believe it came from you.
Papaya, papaya.
I'm going to write words so, so sweet. They're gonna knock me off of my feet. A lot of kisses on the bottom. I'll be glad I got 'em. I'm gonna smile and say, I hope you're feeling better.
Papaya, papaya.
I'll close with love the way you do.
Papaya, papaya.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself. And I'm gonna make believe it came from you. Oh yeah. I'm gonna write words oh so sweet. They're gonna knock me off of my feet. A lot of kisses on the bottom, I'll be glad I got 'em. Oh yeah. I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and there it is. That's the hit, Billy Williams, and it was Dave who wanted to hear that. That actually is a cover. The original is Fats Waller, going way, way back, but Billy Williams, Wilfred Williams, had it out in 57, sold over a million copies, and he was originally from Waco, and died, sadly, in Chicago about 1972. He was fairly young, and so that pretty much is a medley of his hit. But a fine one it was, indeed. So 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, and that takes us to Chuck from Rockford. All right, so Chuck, what's up tonight?
Yeah, I heard somebody talking about.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. You know, I do remember the guy that came into your studio that asked to see you.
Yes.
That was about 30 years ago.
More, actually, it'll be 33 soon. Yeah.
Wow.
Actually, over 33.
Well, you lose count when you get up this way.
Yeah, it's over 33. It's coming up on 33 years ago. My God. Yeah, hard to believe. And I had so many interesting.
We've both changed a little since then.
Oh, absolutely. But what's really sad is the bulk of my callers are all dead. And yeah, I remember Jim, who was on the school board. Oh, man, he raised hell. And so, because that was the only time you got calls in Rockford, was the school board.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think of the woman's name, but she called all the time, and she was, sadly, she left, she died probably in the 90s, but yeah, a lot of people, so I'm glad you're still with us.
Yeah, well, you know, I heard some people that, you know, talking about German and that, and when I, like, I think it might have been 1943,
mm-hmm.
In a small town in northern Illinois, I had a great aunt that was dying of cancer, and my mother went to see her at that time, and she was the telephone operator for the whole city.
Wow.
And she had the switchboard in her house. I suppose she probably knew everybody that was in town, you know, and what their business was. But I never really got to meet her because she was not in that good a shape at the time that we went there. But right across the street from there, there was German prisoners of war. And I wouldn't have known the difference, except they looked just like the rest of us.
Well, of course.
And I guess a lot of them stayed, you know. And
yeah.
In the U.S. after the war was over.
Oh, sure they did. Yeah, absolutely. No, some of the things, the prisoner camp we had here, and my God, we interned all the people of Japanese descent. It was just disgraceful. So, you know.
Well, you know, there's two sides to that.
Of course.
You know, there was so much hatred for the Japs that, in a way, and of course, it's not even kind to call them that now. You know?
No, absolutely not. And yeah, it's fascinating how the pendulum swings.
It wasn't safe for them to be on the street, really.
Well, yeah, not a happy time all the way around. I'll just leave
it.
Well,
you know, I can remember as a kid all the gold stars that were, you know, in the windows, and
right.
God, there was a lot of mothers that were feeling pretty bad, and fathers.
Of course.
About losing it.
Of course. No, I understand the all the various emotional surrounds of that. Horrible time all the way around. I'd like to think we were destined to never repeat it, but I won't
go there,
and that's for another night and another venue.
I overheard a lot of stuff when I was a kid, you know, and you wouldn't think that, you know, you even expect a kid to come up with stuff, even like maybe the first profanity that I ever got chewed out for was, you know, at the table at home, and I guess it was just repeating what I'd heard.
Right.
You know?
But, well, yeah. Yeah, no, terrible things.
Things
well,
like that.
Let's stay away from that and get to something better.
They had a show and tell thing, you know, and when I was in school.
Oh, yeah, no, that can be very dangerous, what a kid would bring in. I don't even want to think about that.
Well, when we got home from that, why, my dad said, you know, I told him where he worked and what he did and all that stuff. And he said that was a military secret.
Oh, that's nice. That's really nice, yeah.
But I wasn't told
repeat it. Well, that's like like the 11-year-old at camp who told his friend who was the reason of Watergate, you know, saying it was Mark Felt, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I had a lot of things that I was trying to do, and I just aged out on them, you know. And
yeah.
I was working on another number of things in aviation for myself, you know, ratings and things like that.
Sure.
And the next thing you know, you're too old to do what you want to do.
Yes, isn't that the truth? You think it'll never happen,
yeah.
And then you wake up and say, my God, it happened. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, I checked on so I was raised in Western Illinois, Galesburg,
mm-hmm.
And I don't know if this station gets out that far or not, but because I haven't been. Well, I was there for the Sturman fly-in this
And the answer is in at nighttime, yes and no. It's in the phase zone, so it in and out, I'd say, as far as that goes.
But a lot of the people I went to school with, you know, I've seen their names, you know, listed in the obits.
Uh-huh.
They come to find out that they were, you know, in a nursing facility and
yeah.
had died of Alzheimer's and
oh.
one thing and another. And right. it's kind of sad, but I think a lot of that has to do with our diets, too.
Oh, I think that what we're putting into our mouths, we're poisoning ourselves, and, you know, again, probably for another venue, but the additives and the things that are in our food, and anybody who thinks that the FDA is here to help you is out of their mind. So, yes, absolutely diets affect a factor, no doubt.
Well, you know, one thing women have got to watch out for is that osteoporosis, see?
Well, it's not only women. Don't kid yourself. Men can get it too, as far as that goes.
Well,
but
yeah.
then you get into if you have osteoporosis, what do you do about it? Because in some cases,
yeah.
if you look at the treatment, you might say to yourself, "This doesn't sound like such a great idea after all." So, I think
I was doing some volunteer work, you know, and I had met a woman that said that she broke her arm just. Helping herself onto a bus.
No, of course. That's fair.
And
unfortunately,
all she was
that's
doing was
fairly common.
Her weight on with the handrail.
Right. No, fairly common, I'm sorry to say. And a lot of seniors who have osteoporosis who fall, they break a lot of ribs, things like that. Very common. But again, what you do about it is a controversial subject, to say the least.
Oh, yeah.
But the best thing to do when you're younger, of course, we're back to diet and exercise, especially weight-bearing exercise. The more you can do for yourself, the less likely you are to be victimized by it.
Yeah, I know that, I can tell, you know, that you're getting weaker, and I'm trying to do things to head that off the best I can with a number of things.
Sure. Sure. I just realized you and I are talking. We're in news, by the way, on the radio station. So it's just you and me talking together here.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
You're off the air.
Yeah, I am. We're in the news break. I blew news.
Yeah,
I was talking to you and not looking at it. So hang on. I'll be back after the news. Don't go away.
Sha-la-la.
Of course, Roy Orbison, 1963 on Monument in Dreams, and it was Cindy in Chicago who wanted to hear that. Now she has. We were talking to Chuck in Rockford until I realized that the news was half over. All right, so Chuck is back. So final thoughts, Chuck?
Oh, well, you know, the first time I called you, I don't know if you were talking to somebody and they dropped the F-bomb on you. Did it get out on the air, or did you just kill it before it got away?
I don't do that at all. That's what a board op does, or an engineer, depending on the station. And so I have no idea. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. It doesn't,
well,
doesn't bother me either.
I get a lot
way.
Of crazy callers.
You
never get on the air.
Right. Well, absolutely that's true. And then we get crazies. I've got this woman who should be institutionalized who leaves me, literally I've got over 4,500 phone messages in the last few years. And I think that she is a victim. If she were drunk, I'd say it was wet brain. But it's something that comes from years of drug use, I think. It's a form of psychosis and paranoid schizophrenia. And it's unbelievable. Leaves messages, and unfortunately, my message is a 5-minute limit, and I can't shorten it. I wish I could. And she got a hold of a number that I use for messages that are important to me, so I can't just turn it off. And I'll tell you, it's just insanity. What this woman is saying, and the fact that she's roaming the streets free is truly frightening to me. But
there's so much stuff that's gone off the rails.
Oh yeah,
you know, now you can't arrest anybody and hold them
or put them in mental facilities. I mean, these are people should be under 24-hour sedation and watch. They should not be able to roam the streets.
Well, you know, I had the occasion to be visiting someone that was institutionalized.
Yeah.
And when I'd go in there, you know, some of them people, they seem so normal. You know, I said, well, what's, there can't be anything wrong with this person. They, you know, why are they here?
Yeah.
And then after a while, you begin to get the drift.
Absolutely. You're 100%. Yes, yes. And hopefully you're not within
it's
arm's
like
length.
It's like over the cuckoo's nest,
yes.
You know.
I know.
In real life, you know, that was all true stuff.
Sure it is. And I don't know what the answer is. It's like many other things. And I certainly understand the horrors of some of the mental facilities where they couldn't let that go. But the answer of just letting these people roam the street isn't the answer either. So just like the orphanages that were so horrible, what happened to people in orphanages. And so they came up with the idea of relying on foster care. And there again, sometimes it's great, but a lot of times, oh my dear God, the horrors of that. So I don't think there's easy answers, but there are sure a lot of problems.
Well, you know, now that I've up in years, I've done some kind of deduction stuff like Sherlock Holmes and figured out how to fill in the blanks on a few things. And as near as I can figure out that my grandfather learned how to become a cigar maker when he was in an orphanage.
Yeah.
Because I'd heard about that. And he had that as a cottage industry.
Well, sure.
During the Depression years. He'd buy the tobacco, you know, and make up the cigars. I guess he could always, you know, sell them. At that time, everybody was smoking cigars. Not everybody, but
enough that it was a decent income. You betcha. All right.
Oh yeah. Well, any kind of an income was decent.
Well, no, no, yeah,
it's hard
to
imagine some of that stuff.
Oh,
I know.
And
I've worked for as much as 25 cents an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Myself.
Yeah, no, truly horrible. And depending on where you were through the Depression, some of the degrees are just horrifying to think. But hopefully never again, though nothing would surprise me. I will talk to you soon. Thank you for calling, Chuck.
Well, it's nice talking to you. I'll try to put you on my dance card here.
All right. I'll look forward to it. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All righty.
All right. Good deal. So 888-876-5593 takes us to Fran in Austin, if you're still awake. Are you with me, Fran?
Oh, of course. I'm awake for hours and still.
Oh, geez. All right. Well, good.
Well, not so good. I got to get up early in the morning. But,
oh, God.
So,
oh,
hopefully
no.
I'll get some sleep.
What's causing that? What is so important it has to be done before the crack of noon?
I have to go to physical therapy.
Oh, God. And they couldn't schedule that in the afternoon?
They don't, you know, I mean, I got to go when the doctor says go. I don't have the luxury of, you know, of having them, you know, just giving me afternoon appointments. And so, you know, I'll go and get it over with. And then I've got some other I got to spend, like, who knows how long on the phone with Social Security. It's going to be one of those days, but
Yeah, well, we'll see how long see how long it takes before you throw the phone against the wall.
Oh, yeah, I know. I did that. I was on the phone with them today. Well, what it is, it's a small thing. I mean, I hope it's a small thing. They sent me an email, and I have to get into my account, and I can't get into my account. I can't. I'm supposed to scan my ID or do something I can't figure out how to do. And I don't know. I had somebody help me get into the account in the first place, but I don't have that person around now. So, you know, I'm worried about, okay, what is the message I have? What does it say? Am I supposed to do something? You know?
It probably is nothing of great import, but I know, and believe me, I know that SSA site is just a nightmare. And it's only operational during certain hours.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. Don't try that in the middle of the night. No, no. They're very, very... And, you know, they're all that 2FA, you know, they're going to send you emails and, I mean, you know, so you have your codes and all those. Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah, they send you the code. So by the time I go over to my email and get the code and then go back to the thing, I've forgotten the code. So
right. No, it's exactly like that. But there are definitely hours on this where the entire website is down for several hours a night.
Oh, wow. Well, I better not try. I was going to say, well, if I can't sleep, I'll try and see if I can get it fixed. But I think I might have somebody coming over soon that might be able to help me with it. So, but you know, it's like, okay, I'm getting, you know, I didn't have enough to worry about already getting that injection on Friday. So, but anyway, on to bigger and better things.
Yes.
There was a woman, and I'm not sure who she was, that did the song, If You Got to Make a Fool of Someone.
Well, it was after somebody. Well, James Ray had the hit.
Yeah, I know who had the hit, but I heard on Johnny's show on Sunday night, I heard
a cover.
He played a version of it by a woman, and I kind of liked it.
I'm trying to think who that'd be. It's a great song, no matter who does it.
Yeah, it is a great song, and if you can, I'd like to hear it by either person, but I was interested in who.
Now, Maxine Brown's the only one I can think of. She did one.
Oh, that might be her then. Whoever it was, I thought it was good.
It probably was Maxine Brown, because the only other woman I know who covered it is Bobby Gentry.
Oh, my God, no. No, so, I don't think it was, you know, it did not sound at all like Bobby Gentry.
No, I'll bet you it was Maxine Brown, because I don't think, but I mean, kudos to Bobby Gentry for even knowing of the song, but...
Well, that's true, you know, and it's...
Yeah. I may have that Maxine Brown on this computer, so let me see if this is it. I write myself little notes where I should be putting artist and title, and all I've got is Maxine, if you gotta. So now we'll find out if Maxine, if you gotta, is the record we're looking for.
Okay.
All right, yeah, Maxine Brown.
I thought you did a good job with that.
Yeah. Well, I liked it enough that I put it on the computer.
Yeah, I guess so.
I'll have to write the title and artist so I'll know next time that Maxine, if you gotta, is. Okay.
God, your records sound about as organized as mine.
Oh yeah, no, it's ridiculous. Rudy Clark wrote that, and so I liked a lot of his stuff. So yeah.
I used to, of course, have to braille my records, and what I would do is I would take all, you know, like I would make labels, but the braille is long, you know, takes a lot of space and time. So sometimes I would just take the vowels out.
Okay.
And so I'm looking at something going, what is you know.
Yeah, exactly.
BLTS or B, you know, right. Whatever it was. You know, what did I mean by that?
Right. Really. Yeah. But no, if you're not familiar with Rudy Clark, he's written a lot of really good stuff, believe it or not. Everybody Plays the Fool and Good Lovin'. And,
oh, I love that song.
It's in His Kiss. I Got My Mind Set on You. I mean, he was the real deal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he was from New York, and he wrote a lot of stuff and probably never got much recognition, but he should have.
Oh, too bad. He wrote some great stuff.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yes, exactly. And so he died about 5 or 6 years ago, like the start of COVID or whatever. But yeah. And but he did, I think I read somewhere where he has like something like 250 copyrights with BMI. So there's a lot of songs. So yeah, did and he was a good friend of Bobby Darin. So, and I don't know, I don't know if Bobby did any of his songs, but I know he got him some kind of publishing deal. But yeah, with Good Lovin', that was originally the Olympics, of course. Young Rascals later made him a lot of money, but Olympics originally.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then one of your callers earlier reminded me of Boney Maroney. And,
if you wouldn't mind
playing that one.
Oh, sure. You know, I really never thought about it, but I just assumed that Larry Williams, just like Little Richard didn't write his stuff, I assumed Larry Williams didn't write it. But if he wrote all that stuff, well, of course, it was on specialty. God knows Art Rupe wouldn't have given him his royalties, but should have. Absolutely should have, because that should have been a lot of money. A lot of people covered those records.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Something tells me that Art Rupe passed along absolutely nothing. I hope that's not true, but... Yeah.
And then earlier tonight, just at the beginning of the show, you were talking about carrots and eyesight.
Yeah, you're right.
And my mother actually had a doctor.
No.
Because she was taking me to all these doctors.
No.
Trying to... and she... I mean, they told her to feed me a lot of carrots.
No, just no. This killed.
I know.
God.
I got so sick of carrots. I can eat them now, but oh my God, for a long time I couldn't look at a carrot. It's like, ugh, no, don't give me any carrots.
And this is somebody who went to medical school and allegedly was licensed.
At UC, they went. I think they went to UC. Well, she took me to UCLA a lot.
Uh huh. Yeah.
And, I mean, she had some doctors. One, I'll say, I'm blind from my optic nerve didn't develop.
Okay.
So that's the cause of my blindness. So what do? They give my mother these real thick glasses.
Oh, no.
I mean, they cost a bunch of money. And, you know, that's why finally she was fortunate enough to go to a doctor who told her, you know, you can keep spending all this money and doing all these things that don't work. Or, you know, you can just accept that your daughter is blind and is going to be blind for the rest of her life and try to, you know, raise her as normally and independently as possible.
Absolutely. Well, yeah.
And, fortunately, she took that advice. I mean, yeah, there were times she was overprotective and, you know, whatever. But, I mean, for the most part, I've heard, you know, so many horror stories, even from some of your callers. And I think, my God, you know, I was pretty darn lucky.
No.
You know, I had a pretty normal...
Exactly.
If anybody has a normal childhood, you know.
Yeah, some of those stories are just so horrendous. The things that happened to Joe and Grecia, for instance, with his mother, just horrible, horrible stuff. So,
I hate
to hear, but yeah, UCLA has Jewel Stein, which is pretty famous in the eye world. And of course you were in South Florida. So Bascom Palmer at Jackson Memorial is just like number one in the country.
So. Yeah. She had a chance because there was some kind of experimental operation that they were doing at the time.
Uh-huh.
And she thought about doing it, having it done, but they would have had to go so far back into the eye and in that they said, now there is a likelihood that she may have brain damage.
Yeah, that ended that, I hope.
And my mom just like, no, not, you know, my daughter is playing, she's bright, she's, you know, just, you know, no. Absolutely
right.
Not. And, you know, she used to think that if I found out about that I'd get mad.
No.
And one time she told me about it, and I said, thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you. I love you for making that decision. thank you, you know, that must have been hard because she really was trying everything
right.
within her power to get me my sight.
Right. And there is a lot of work done right now. None of it is ready for prime time, to say the least, but they are looking for all sorts of way to regenerate nerve cells or, you know, make the connection between the eye and the brain once the optic nerve, you know, and of course harder when the optic nerve is never developed. But even so, they're doing a lot of research that's interesting. You and I will be dead before it comes to four. But
and I was going to say, even if they had it tomorrow, I wouldn't take it. I mean, I'm 70 years old. It's
right.
like I've lived this way all my life. I don't, that's too much of it.
Well, of course. No, of course. But you know, you go back 50 years and what they're doing now, as far as trying to do, wasn't even thought of at the time. So they may hit it one day.
I wonder how that person, I know somebody, they had some kind of thing that was generating sight with some people.
Yes.
And they pulled the plug on it, and now those people are
yes, absolutely. Yes, those implants. Yes. I should look to see if I can find out what happened with that. Yeah, that was really sad.
Yeah, because I think you had one caller that had that, and it was cut off and, you know, put him basically in worse condition
right.
than he was in.
Right.
And I thought, oh, my God, you know.
Yeah.
It's just...
Yeah, that was really horrible. And I meant to do something to keep that in mind because that was such a story. I wanted to follow that. But yeah, it was a device that people were doing very well with and then turned out, forget about it. And the company just went belly up. There was somebody else who was some other entity that was trying to do something about that. And I should try to find that because, that was
a hard story. I just vaguely remember hearing about that. I think you had a caller, and I think I heard about somebody that was trying to, I don't know, sue them as well they should.
Right.
Well,
when a company goes belly up, there's nothing to sue.
There's nothing to get. You can't get blood out of a turnip, as they say.
Right, so, right. Argus 2. It was called Argus 2. Now I got to look it up.
That's it. Yeah.
It's called Argus 2. And this, you know, this goes back like 12 years ago. And then I don't know the company that made it. I think it was like Second Sight or something. And they were on the brink of bankruptcy and all that kind of stuff. And then the hardware was unsupported and all of that stuff. So I'll have to look to see what happened to that. And as we're talking, I'm muddling through the. Hold on a minute. When the news is over, I will have an answer for you. Don't go away. All right,
okay.
And that's where we'll pick it up right here on WGN Radio.
Why do I think of you each day? Why do I love you this way? You know why.
'58. more than 12 years before Questlove would make his appearance as his son, and Questlove turns 55 today. Sadly, Lee's been gone quite a while. But 1958 on UA, he was sounding good with Why Do I, and we're talking to Fran and Austin. All right, so I have the scoop on what the deal is here on Argus 2.
Okay.
All right, so a company called Second Sight Medical developed this. And in 2019, they kind of shifted away from that. They wanted to work on an unproven implant, the Orion, and they damn near collapsed. They laid off pretty much all their staff. They were on the verge of bankruptcy. And bottom line was, even if they wanted to support Argus 2, they couldn't. And so here were these patients with dysfunctional, unsupported hardware. And some users who were doing very well suddenly went completely dark again because of technical issues or all that. So meanwhile, Second Sight merges with Nano Precision in 2022, and they come up with a new company, Vivante. And a lot of people think, oh, Vivante, oh, that's going to be great. Well, no, that company shifted its focus entirely away from the Argus 2, not even looking at it. So meantime, you have two more players, and one is Elon Musk and Neuralink, which is working on the same thing. And the other is something called Science Corporation, which last year they came out with, they had done some tests and said this is a real contender as well. Now, with Science Corporation, I'm not 100% sure whether these individuals who were in the trials had been blind from birth, or if they lost their blindness, you know, if they developed blindness later, lost their sight. Doesn't say.
Uh-huh.
But with Neuralink, they claim it doesn't matter. In both cases, they claim they're not working along the optic nerve, that it is not a factor in the technology. So theoretically, that could do something. But bottom line is, this is very expensive. Now, obviously, Elon Musk could afford to continue it, and hopefully will. But in general, the idea that that a company will be able to be better than Argus 2 is really a scary proposition. So that's
those poor people. I mean, most of the people I know who are blind from birth don't want their sight.
Right.
You know, by the time they get older, I've lived this long without it. You know, it's just, but you know, for people who do and who get their sight, and then, you know, you've got to go through a lot of if I got my sight tomorrow, I probably wouldn't know what the heck I was looking at.
Undoubtedly, that's true. And it would be, in some ways, tremendously frightening. Would almost have to be.
I read an article about that. There was a guy who had a little bit of sight, but not very much, very, very little. And he had some kind of surgery, and he got not 20/20 vision, but he got, you know, a lot more sight than he had. And he was talking about how he was in the car and they were taking him home, and he thought the car was just, you know, going too fast, and right, all the cars were, you know, going to run into them. And, you know, he was talking about how, you know, scary things were, and he still had to do things as a blind person would because he did not understand depth perception.
Yeah, and might not have had it.
You might not have, yeah, that might be true, but I remember, I forget who it was, I wish I could remember that, because I think he wrote a book about it, and I wish I could remember who it was, because I'd love to look at that book, but anyway, you know, I got enough problems, I'll just keep things the way they are, but, you know, I just feel so bad for those people who are left high and dry.
I know, especially where it really made life-changing effects to them, that suddenly that's it.
I mean, because a lot of the people that call, you know, and I understand that they're losing their sight, it's a whole different ball game, and they would do anything to get their sight, and to get it and then lose it.
Yeah.
You know, oh my god.
Yeah.
You know, I can't even imagine how that would be, but anyway, I guess that's about it.
And I'm looking for that book too. I want to find out who it is, because I remember reading about that also, about somebody who could suddenly see, and it was just truly, truly frightening. I'll look for that.
Yeah, I would like to know if you find it.
Yeah, Yeah, because it would be it'd be interesting. But yes, for individuals who had sight, lost it, and suddenly gained it, to then find out that the company goes belly up because they've decided to concentrate on something else, just unacceptable. Yeah, unacceptable all the way around. And hopefully, you know, Elon Musk, he's certainly got the funds, will really go after this and make a difference. But I know they got some FDA approval on some trials, but I haven't heard anything else.
Yeah, well, I hope they do something for those people.
I mean,
I can't imagine how angry. I mean, angry isn't even the word for it. I can't say the word for it on the radio.
Right, well, it's a level of depression we hope will never endure.
Yeah, I hope not. Oh, yeah. My God.
Anyway, all right.
I think of that and I feel pretty good.
Exactly, there you are. All right, talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888-RALEIGH. And let's see here. Okay, there's the magic triangle, and this gets us to Eduardo in Tampa. So, Eduardo, thank you for the pictures. Well, I'm saying that to Eduardo, but Eduardo went to sleep. And who could blame him, really, when you get right down to it? But and he did send me some pictures from the pediatric neurology conference. And like I thought, good food was served. I just knew it. All right. Those pharmaceutical companies have the money to spend on those hospitality suites. All right. So we'll get to Ralph in Rockford, and he will be our final caller tonight, and we'll spend some time with Ralph. And tomorrow night, by the way, we won't do anything. Well, we might. There might be a 20-minute show. There might be a. It can't be longer than a half hour. That would be the maximum, because apparently it's Northwestern basketball, and they're starting, I don't know, after 9 o'clock. So the likelihood that you'll hear much of me, I don't know. But Thursday night, we're going to have Del Stecker, and that's going to be fun. So more on that later, and more on Ralph coming up next on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So it's Patsy Cline, and it came out in 1980. All right, that obviously that's not when she recorded it, but when they were looking around, as was the case for all the masters they could find that were unreleased, Decca, then MCA, found it and put it on an album of the same name. So Ralph in Rockford, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Morgen, lacht uns wieder das Glück. Gestern liegt doch so weit zurück. So thank you very much for playing that.
Sure. My pleasure.
Yeah, that was wonderful. It was a nice surprise. It was even almost in connection with this gentleman from Iowa that was going to talk to you about German television.
Yes, right.
Yeah. Well, I was, as a thank you gift, I was going to tell you just a couple of minutes, a little bit about the beginnings of German television. So you will hear from somebody who was almost there.
Yeah, because that was 1938 when they first broadcast for 90 minutes a day. And then after the war, of course, they ramped it up first with ARD and then on and on. So go for it. Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, of course, after this terrible war, Germany had hardly any artistic life left, you know. And so Germany came a little bit back in 1949 when it was called the Währungsreform. That means when the mark was introduced into the German market.
Mm-hmm.
And from 1949 on, and there was a wonderful chancellor. His name was Adenauer, Konrad Adenauer.
Uh-huh.
And he had been appointed. He was the choice of the Americans, that we want that man because he is integral and he can help Germany to get out of this mess.
Yeah.
And it proved to be right. He reigned till 1967, and from 49 on, Germany, it went, you know, a little bit upward, and it was wonderful that, and I think even as a thank you gift, the Americans put a Ford factory right into Cologne, where he was a mayor of Bonn or Cologne, so that was very nice. So he had some American help as well.
Good.
Yeah, and so what I was going to tell you is like in, I was just a baby in the first German station was called ARD.
Right, that's what I'm saying, absolutely. That's public, yes.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that was ARD. I never knew what this stood for, but I would imagine Allgemeiner Rundfunk Deutschland.
Yeah.
That would hit. And then, but I tell you one thing which is very interesting for all our American friends here. When you started watching there from 1949, 50, 55, 60, you thought that Germany had been annexed to be the 51st state of America.
Ah.
Yeah, because, I mean, I wish, you know, that would have happened. It could have been, you know, nothing but better for Germany. Of course, did not happen, but still, I was going to tell you that a lot of American television was broadcast in Germany over German television.
Oh, absolutely, and a lot of it was dubbed. A lot of it was dubbed in German.
Oh, yeah, it was dubbed into German. I remember as a child we were watching Rin Tin Tin and Fury, and, well, especially Lassie, you know.
Right, absolutely. No, ARD I couldn't pronounce it to save my soul, but the A was Arbeit, and it was a longer word than that. And then the R was Rundfunk something or other, and the D, of course, Deutschland, like you thought. But Das Erste, the first, and then some regional channels and all that. Yeah. So that was the first one. But then in 1963, Z came about.
Yeah, Z, ZDF.
Yep.
That means zweites deutsches Fernsehen. That means second German television.
Right. That was around.
But in 1963. There had been all the Germans, like, for example, Seehund. That was a big series. Seehund. And the biggest one that the Germans loved the most was his Fugitive.
Okay, I can see why, sure.
Oh, yeah, they were crazy. That went on for years and years, and the Germans really loved it. They were glued to the television. I think it came on once a week. And the actor, remember, he was very nice, good actor. What was his name again? That was a nice black hair. He played the fugitive.
I can see him like it's tomorrow, and I'll come up with it. David Jansen. David Jansen.
Yeah. David Jansen. And
played Dr. Richard Kimball. Yeah, David Jansen.
Dr. Richard Kimball, and the Germans loved him very much, and it went on for years and years. And even the Germans said, "Well, he can never." He can never find that guy with the one arm because by now that arm will have regrown. You know?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how long it went. And it went on on German TV, I must say. It went on to Cannon and then the streets of San Francisco. And, of course, who was a big star also in Germany was Peter Falk.
Right.
With Columbo. You mentioned it's
funny that you're saying this, and I'm aware of all that, but I think most people outside of Germany think that Deutsche Welle or Vela is German television, when in fact that's more like our VOA. It's meant for people who aren't in Germany.
Right, yeah, right, exactly. And I remember you, in your show today, you mentioned Little Richard.
Yeah.
And Little Richard, believe it or not, Little Richard played in one of the Columbos.
Why am I not surprised?
Yeah, he was on there for 2 or 3 minutes, and it was very interesting. Of course, Little Richard was pretty well known all over Europe, too, in the mid to late 50s, because even Cliff Richard, he had a show where he used Ready Teddy.
Right.
On the
Columbo thing, I don't think that was the regular Columbo TV show. I think it was that TV movie. It was like 1991 or whatever, and it was Murder of a Rock Star. And Richard was not the rock star. He was a friend of the murder victim.
He was a friend of the rock star.
Right, but he played himself in full makeup, being flamboyant like only he could be. And that was a made-for-TV movie. Yes.
Yeah, that was. I kind of got a big kick out of it.
Yeah, and the I think Columbo confronted the murderer was some lawyer who never lost a case and all that kind of stuff.
He was a famous actor at the time. I remember his name, but
Peter Falk. Oh hell yes.
And the guy who played the lawyer. He was pretty well known too as an actor.
Who did play the lawyer?
In the 1990s, Peter Falk and Columbo. He really had attracted a lot of great actors to play in Columbo, because the series was running out then, but he still had some good stars. Those are some of my favorite Columbos from the early 90s, 91, 92, 93.
I can't remember who the lawyer was, but I know the woman was Dabney Coleman.
She was
the mistress. Yeah.
Yeah, she was the mistress. Well, they had a beach house, and that's where they met on Mondays, Fridays, and Wednesdays or whatever.
Okay.
Well, anyway, so...
Okay, I looked it up. It was Hugh Creighton.
Hugh Creighton passed away a few years ago.
So it was Hugh Creighton. I don't even know. And he appeared in Columbo. He also... that's interesting. I do not know anything about this guy, Hugh Creighton.
Yeah, Hugh Creighton, but I've seen him in other... not Columbos, but... In other movies, that he was somewhat of a star there, because from 1990 on, Peter Falk made sure that he had a lot of stars that played, the major role.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, I love the write-up on this, saying he was the best murder defense lawyer in the country. Lost a case because he wasn't afraid to bribe the witnesses.
Yeah, right, you're right. That's what the dismissal accuses him of that too.
Wow.
That was interesting. And then I was just want to say one more thing here, and also I want to thank you for playing it was Lolita.
Oh yes, Lolita Sailor. Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that was wonderful. In Germany it's Seemann.
Right.
Seemann, deine Heimat ist das Meer.
Yeah, and that's exactly what she sings. And it's interesting to think that the year opened with Ivo Rubik in number 13, and it closed with Sailor number 5.
Right, and believe it or not, number 4 was Wonderland by Night by Bert Kaempfer.
Bert Kaempfer. So, big year for Germany. You have ended the night. I will talk to you soon.
Well thank you very much. And thanks again for your understanding.
Absolutely. Good to talk to you. All right. So, on that note, apologies to Eduardo who called back. Tomorrow night, maybe a half-hour show. Check, around midnight 30. And other than that, Thursday night, a full show. And Del Stecker joining me in the first hour. I think you'll enjoy that. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. That's a wrap. We thank Adam. We thank John. We thank you on WGN Radio.
All threats are off, plus Junka Junka Burnin' Love and Batty Smack. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. The bang over. A Tahoe man went ballistic big time at the betting bazaar when he blew 20K. Glower Grapes got on the phone and hollered to Harris that he was going to bomb what he called the stupid casino cops say. Well, stupid is as deluded does, and the boys in blue barreled on over to his bungalow and brought him in. Choker Face, obviously not playing with a full deck, may now have to stick to solitaire in the slammer. Old Flame, this girl is on fire. Seems she was steaming mad over something with her sweetie, so she threw the boyfriend's belongings in the barbecue pit and let him burn, baby burn, cops say. St. Elmo's pyro cooled off and put out the blaze, not pondering the possibility the lit pit bit could backfire and backtrack and burn down the entire building. The ring of fires forced families to flee. Burning Desires now cooling her hot heels in the slammer. Hell hath no fiery like a woman scorned. Scrappy Drill Moore, mile-high drub at a hoity-toity country club in Denver. Babette's fists flew when a couple of corporate cats got into a slap-happy scrap, the bonkers brawl busting up a busy buffet table. The 16th hole hullabaloo, the subject of civil suits, especially since one of the supposed sluggers suffered a smashed collarbone. The country club cabal reputed to have a reputation for rock'em sock'em revelry, the maladjusted money bags mustering mucho monitoring over the meaning of strife. It's all par for the course, when the only thing under par is the behavior. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.